What's up, Mets fans? This is Talking Mets with Rob podcast. Thanks for listening. Welcome back, episode 2. Let's get right into the latest news of our beloved New York Mets. So, since we last spoke, not much has happened. Trevor May signed. Not much news, much, you know, action going on for the first 2 days of the winter meetings. A couple of things happened with other teams, but we don't care about other teams. We care about us, our Mets. So yesterday, the Mets signed Trevor. That's right, Mets fans. The Mets signed Trevor Hildenberger, that is, to a minor league contract. He's a right-hander. He was on the Twins recently of the Red Sox in the minor league system, but didn't make it back up to the majors this year. In 2020, but when Jeremy Hefner recruited this right-hander reliever, Trevor Hildenberger, a couple of years ago, 18 and 19, you know, he was pretty good. He had a little over a 3 ERA with 42 innings. Not bad. But the last 2018-2019, he had over a 6 ERA. So, I don't know if it was Jeremy Hefner with whatever magic he has, but he is recruiting. He recruited Trevor May. He recruited this kid, or recruited the Mets, let the Mets sign this kid to a minor league contract, which is interesting. But clearly Hefner sees something in him. Maybe he sees that he's the pitcher he was a couple of years ago when he had that 3 ERA in 2017. Let's just, you know, I mean, is he going to be a part of the bullpen? We don't know. But as we all know, you always need depth with pitching in the rotation and in the bullpen, especially in the minor leagues, you know, build up that depth in the minors. So if any injuries happen during a year or anything like that to our bullpen, you know, he might be a part of the bullpen. You just don't know. But, you know, that was the latest sign-in. Trevor Hildenberger, to a minor league contract. There was a little bit of news rumbling the last day or so about the Mets contacting the Blue Jays about Steven Matz. Now, there's not really a lot of information about, you know, did the talks get serious or was they just, you know, like gauging the interest from other teams? You know, as we know, the Matz was terrible last year. He couldn't even get out of his own way. If I'm not mistaken, I think he had like a nine ERA. So, you know, he wasn't good, but, you know, we've heard reports that Matt's been working out, you know, working hard in the spring training facility, trying to get back to, I guess, 2015 Matt's, which would be nice, but I don't think he's ever going to get that good again. But, you know, Matt's is a wild card for us. So, you know, the Mets contacting the Blue Jays, maybe they think they can get a decent piece back from the Blue Jays. I don't know if it's another arm for the bullpen, maybe a bench player, maybe it'll probably be a minor leaguer. I don't know. But, you know, I trust Sandy to know what he's doing. And if he thinks that Mets can get something from Matz that will help us this year, well, why not, right? So there really hasn't been much news about this. It probably broke down. I guess the talks, nothing really came together with Toronto. So, you know, I guess it was just Sandy throwing Matz out there to see what he can, you know, see who bites, I guess. So at this point, Matz is still a Met. Nothing's really going down. This is day 3 of the winter meetings. So, you know, hopefully something happens for our Mets. You know, who knows? But it's been slow lately, at least for us. Besides Trevor May and Trevor Hildenberger, that's about it. With the rotation, with the free agent, Jake Odorizzi, we heard that the Mets were interested. They were talking, but there was other teams, San Francisco and Toronto, that were more heavily involved with Odorizzi. The Mets seemed like they fell out of it a little bit. But, you know, I would like to have Jake Odorizzi. Like, if we needed another starter in the back end of the rotation, I'd rather have Odorizzi than Mats. I don't know why. I don't know if it's a Hefner we trust type of thing, or it's just I feel like Odorizzi is just better than Mats at this point in time. So I wouldn't mind the Mets going after Jake Odorizzi, but it doesn't seem like it's going to happen since we're not the front runners anymore for him. But we see what we can do. I mean, there's been a little bit more information regarding Sonny Gray. Now, obviously, we have to trade for him because he is on the Reds. He had a really good year, Trevor May. Sonny Gray had a really good year last year for the Reds. But, I mean, are we willing to give up a player on our Major League roster, probably plus a prospect for Sonny Gray? We know the first round with Sonny Gray with the Yankees, he just couldn't pitch here. I don't know if it was mental, if it was just he wasn't just having a bad year. I don't know. But it's even Brian Cashman said it before he found the trade suitor because he didn't think Sonny Gray had the mental capacity to pitch in New York. Now, is that just pitching at Yankee Stadium, pitching with the Yankees, and, you know, maybe going to Cincinnati, maybe he found himself and he can pitch in New York now. But I don't feel comfortable giving up players for Sonny Gray when Bauer's out there. Sonny Gray's a really good pitcher, but I just don't think he can pitch in New York. And, you know, Mets fans are just as worse as Yankee fans, if not worse. You know, we dealt with more shit than Yankee fans over the course of many years. And we all know that Mets fans are miserable when it comes to our team. You know, first signs of negativity and losing, we go after our players. It's just what we do. You know, you don't perform, you will get booed. You will hear it on social media. You will hear it on sports talk radio. You will hear it on podcasts. So, it's not a bad idea for Sandy to check out. Maybe, you know, might get lucky and we might steal Sonny Gray. Then that's what I'll do. But there were talks about Amed Rosario, possibly one of our prospects in the minor leagues, the limited number of prospects we have. I'm 50-50 with Amed Rosario right now because we have Jimenez, but I feel like Sonny Gray is just a head case when it comes to New York, not anywhere else, but New York. And I don't feel like giving up assets for him would make sense, at least for us. But, you know, I think we should just focus on Trevor Bauer. I think, you know, he has the mental makeup to pitch in New York. He's a crazy guy. He's a good guy. You know, yes, he's, you know, all over the place on social media, but I think he can handle New York with no problem. And it seems like that's the way it is. It seems like the Mets are focused on Trevor Bauer and George Springer. So Sonny Gray is a big no for me. I want to get a little bit into a little bit more news about DJ LeMahieu. There hasn't been much more the last time we spoke, but we do hear that there's a couple other teams involved. And it's the Yankees, as we know. It's the Blue Jays. And it's also the Mets. So the Mets are interested. I think if we can get LeMahieu, $5 years, $100 million, 4 years, $85 million, whatever it might be. If somehow we can get LeMahieu, I mean, you know, taking him away from the Yankees is always a good thing. Yeah, I mean, that would just stick it to the Yankees, which is always fun. But I'm not really concerned about the Yankees as much as is using some of our money on payroll for a second baseman where we basically have a second baseman in Jeff McNeil or Andrés Giménez, wherever you want to put there. Do you want to give 5 years, $100 million to a 32-year-old LeMahieu? I would, but if it stops us from getting Springer or Bauer, then I would not do it, even though LeMahieu is, you know, the two-time batting champion, and he was excellent for the Yankees last year. But I don't really understand why we're really focusing on that. I mean, they're a part of discussions, but I don't know if they're going to get LeMahieu. I think it's still going to be a Yankee. But, you know, it's kind of interesting to think that maybe Sandy really likes him, you know. Maybe he thinks that he can help this team. He could be in that middle of that lineup early, you know, first, second, third place in a batting order. that would, you know, he would, you know, he's a hitting machine, so that could help. But I still think we should focus on Trevor Bauer and Springer. And, you know, because I feel like if we get LeMahieu, I think that's going to hinder us getting, you know, both of Trevor Bauer and George Springer. I think we would only get one if we get LeMahieu. So, I think LeMahieu can just, you know, you want to stay at the Yankees, stay with the Yankees. But the only way I would do it if it's a four-year deal. And if it's a four-year deal that LeMahieu would take, he'll probably go back to the Yankees. So, again, I want to go over the luxury tax for our Mets. As of right now, we are 11th in payroll with the 40-man roster, and which is $129,130,000. And our luxury tax payroll is $147,130,000. So what does that mean? That means that we have a little under $63 million to spend to be at that luxury tax threshold until we, you know, get into that luxury tax stuff. So, you know, it's a decent amount of money. We have, I'm checking in right now, we have the most money. Let's see if I'm not mistaken. Oh, we have like the third or fourth most money to spend under the luxury tax for 2021. So, that gives us room to get Bauer, Springer, and like a Brad Hand right there. What is Bauer going to cost? Like 25, 26 million? Springer, I heard yesterday on Baseball Night in New York that Springer can get over like 130 million for like 5 years. And I'm thinking to myself, I was not expecting that at all. I don't know if you guys were, but, you know, leave your comments to let me know. Do you believe Springer should get that much, or you thought about him getting that much? Because I honestly thought he would be around under 100 million for sure, but like 85-90 million. When I heard that yesterday, I'm not sure who said it. I think it was Jim Duquette on SNY for Baseball Night in New York and the Mets Hot Stove. He said that it's gonna be around 120-130 million for Springer, and I'm like, whoa. I'm like, I wasn't expecting that. So if the Mets go after Bauer and Springer like everybody thinks they are, and Springer seems like the big possibility, you know, Bauer's probably going to get around 25, 26 million. You know, you give Springer 25, 20, 20, 22 million. That's already, you know, $40+ million for two players. And now you have about $25 million, $24 million to work with. And now you got to, you know, you need a left-hander in the bullpen since we're not going to re-sign Wilson. You know, Brad Hand's out there. So I think it's important for us to, you know, spend that money wisely, you know. But you know, I was shocked when I heard that. I'm like, wow, I didn't think Springer was going to get 130 million. I thought it was going to be like 100 million. So, well, I mean, it seems like that's what the market is. But I think we're fighting back and forth with the Blue Jays, who really look like they're interested in Springer. So it seems like the Blue Jays are a pain in the Mets' ass this offseason when it comes to free agents and trades, because, you know, everything the Mets are on, the Blue Jays are apparently in on too. You know, when it comes to DJ LeMahieu, Trevor Bauer, George Springer, even Jake Odorizzi. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting to think that the Blue Jays, especially after the pandemic when every team is crying poor, including, you know, our crosstown rivals, the Yankees, and teams in our division, the Phillies. But, hey, I mean, I'm shocked that Springer's could get $130 million for a 5-6 year deal. But let me hear what you guys have to say in the comments. You can leave a voice message on Anchor, and I will answer your question on the next episode. So when it comes to back to our rotation, if we do get Bauer, say, is it good enough right now? And I'm not going to include Syndergaard because we really don't know when he's going to be back. You know, not really much has been said, but could it be early April, late April, early May? But say we keep Syndergaard out of this right now. We would have, obviously, DeGrom. We would have Bauer. We would have Stroman. We would have Peterson. that's four of our starters right now. Now, would we go out and get, you know, a Jake Odorizzi? Would we get somebody else, like a Taiwan Walker, somebody like that? I don't know. But are you going to put Mats in the rotation? I mean, you know, I know Mats is a head case. He's like Sonny Gray for the Mets. He's, you know, as soon as he gets, you know, into his head, he's done. He's going to give up runs. Like, we've seen it last year. We've seen it how many years now? He would be pitching, you know, two or three innings really well. All of a sudden, there's one inning where he blows up, gives up five or six runs. Mets are out of the ballgame, and Mats Bailey pitched four innings. It's been like that for a couple of years now. But if I was Sandy Alderson, I would give Mats a chance until Syndergaard comes back as the fifth starter. Now, when Syndergaard comes back, depending on what Mats is doing, depending on what Peterson's doing, might have to determine, you know. But even if Mats is pitching good and Syndergaard comes back, you know, you're not going to, you know, pitch a lot of innings with Syndergaard right away. You got to slowly get him back from the Tommy John surgery. So would you keep a six-man rotation? You know, since Syndergaard's not going to be pitching a lot of innings at first, you know, he might go five innings or so for his first couple of starts when he comes back. You know, would you, you know, piggyback him with Mats in the same game? You know, Syndergaard pitches five and then here comes Mats? Or do you not want to mess with Mats like that and you just leave a six-man rotation, see how everybody does, and then, you know, when it gets later in the season, go back to that five-man rotation depending on who's pitching well? Because Peterson was good last year. What does that mean? We don't know. It was a short season, but, you know, last year his first game was against the Red Sox. The Red Sox weren't a really good team, but he pitched very well. And he pitched very well during the 60-game shortened season. He was good. But, you know, as we all know, sophomore slump, he might come back this year and not be as good. Then we have to worry about another slot in the rotation. Or if Mats is pitching well, you swap him in. If Syndergaard's back, you know, maybe Peterson go into the bullpen a little bit, get his act together. Maybe that would help. That would be another left-hander in a bullpen. You never know. So I think that Mats should get the fifth spot until Syndergaard comes back, and then we will determine what's going on with that. But, you know, I think it's a good idea, but, you know, we'll see what happens there. So getting back to the free agents, I'm going to talk about the catcher's spot. Haven't heard anything about JT Realmuto at all regarding the Mets, or, you know, honestly, anybody. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, what teams have been looking for a catcher? You know, there's not many out there, to be honest, that want to spend that type of money. Like, who are the Mets' competition when it comes to Realmuto? I don't think it's the Yankees, but they're already crying poverty. You know, they already tendered Sanchez a contract. I mean, the Phillies already said that they're probably not going to sign Realmuto because they're tight with money after the pandemic season. So, like, I think what the Mets are doing are extremely smart. You know, the inactive talks with McCann, you know, it sounds like it'd be like a four-year deal. Not much around, I think it was like $40 million or so, $45 million, maybe a little more. But if you really think about it, I really think the Mets are talking to McCann actively. I think they want McCann. But actually, you know, let me put it this way. I think they want Realmuto, but they also wouldn't mind James McCann. I think they're using McCann, not in a mean way, but in a nicer way. You know, saying, all right, let's put this out there. We're active talks with James McCann. You know, let have Realmuto think that, you know, if he loses one of the biggest suitors for a catcher, his price tag is going to go down. And I feel like, you know, Realmuto, he might just, and his agent might just go like, oh, man, you know, we respected $150, $160 million. You know, the Mets are out. If they get McCann, who's left? What am I going to get? You know, my price is going to drop. I think Sandy is using McCann as leverage to lower the price on JT Realmuto. That's just my opinion. But I feel like that because for how many years? Before the Marlins traded Realmuto to the Phillies, that's all we talked about them. Brody's looking at Realmuto, trying to figure out a trade-in partner. What players are going to be in there to get Realmuto? Maybe a three-team deal. everything that we heard for 2 years, back and forth, back and forth. And that's all we heard. The Mets are going to get Realmuto. The Mets are going to get Realmuto when he's a free agent. The Phillies haven't signed him last year. You know, there was talks that the Phillies and Realmuto was going to, you know, negotiate a contract to extend him. Nothing happened. But not much over the last year and a half have we heard anything about James McCann, even though he was going to be a free agent at the same time Realmuto was going to be a free agent. But nobody cared because Realmuto was the Met no matter what if he was a free agent. That's all we cared about. So why is there there's a 360, this complete shift with the Mets? Now, is it a change of ownership, change of a GM? You know, I feel like if Brody was still here, I think Realmuto would have been a Met already. Or at least there would have been more active talks with Realmuto than James McCann. Because it seems like Brody wanted Realmuto no matter what. He just didn't want to give up 9 players, you know, unless you're Edwin Diaz and Robinson Cano and trade in, you know, Kelenic. So I feel like the Mets' first option is Realmuto, but they're using a section option in James McCann as a bargaining tool to drop Realmuto's price. But if Realmuto doesn't drop, I don't think the Mets are going to wait and say, you know what, take it or leave it, Realmuto. We're not going to deal with you if you're going to not drop in your price. And James McCann's probably going to be a Met. Now, I wouldn't mind that, but if you get James McCann, we got to get Bauer and we got to get Springer. And on top of that, since there's a little bit of money, you know, we're going to save about, what, $100 million if we get McCann instead of Realmuto. Now, if Bauer gets between 25 and 26 million, 28 million around that, and Springer is going to get about 20 million, and then you add James McCann, it's about another like 12, 13, 14 million, you're still about $15 million under the luxury tax. I don't know how much, you know, Cohen might go over that. I don't think he, you know, does he care? I know he said that he's not here to make money, but at the end of the day, you know, owners can say that. I know he's the richest owner in baseball, but, you know, still, you know, there's still a budget, no matter what we think. You know, is he going to go over the threshold? You know, we can get Brad Hand, and then now we're right at the luxury tax threshold, you know. And is that enough for our lineup, our roster, to go into the 2021 season? If we get Trevor Bauer, if we get George Springer, if we get James McCann, if we get Brad Hand, do you guys think, Mets fans, let me know, do you guys think that getting these guys would solidify our roster and be a team that we know can make the playoffs, you know, barring injury, get into the playoffs with this roster? Let me know. I think it is. I think it's more than enough, you know, especially if Syndergaard comes back and we got Bauer, we got Jake. No, we know with Jake, but you got to remember, Jake's not getting any younger. We got to start getting people around Jake. We can't just keep on not making the playoffs every year when Jake's having Cy Young season after Cy Young season. It's just, we're wasting them. You know, for 3 years now, we are just wasting away. For 4 years, we're not making the playoffs. We're not even being competitive. I mean, can you say we were competitive in 2019? Yeah. In the second half, it was great. But we didn't make the playoffs. 2020. All the fucking teams that made the playoffs, the Mets didn't get in. We started off terrible and we never could catch up. You know, we have the best pitcher in baseball. We have to get into the playoffs while we still have DeGrom at the top of his game. You know, we can't wait a couple of years from now. Jacob DeGrom's, you know, not as good as he was. He still might be really good, but he's not, you know, that Cy Young pitcher anymore. Now, you know, Syndergaard's a free agent after next year. So are we going to sign him? We don't even know that. I think we're going to have to sign Syndergaard to an extension, because if we don't and Jake starts to deteriorate little by little, even though, you know, he didn't pitch a lot, you know, in his younger years in college and everything like that until his, you know, later in his college career. So his arm might still have a lot more in it. But still, you know, who do we have? You know, yeah, we got Bauer, but do you consider Bauer a number one? Yeah, but he's not Jacob DeGrom. You know, I think, you know, we got about, I would say, 2 to 3 years where Jacob DeGrom is going to be at the top of his game, best pitcher in baseball. Just imagine that rotation in the playoffs. It feels like 2015 all over again, if you really think about it. You know, Syndergaard, DeGrom, Harvey. I mean, even Matt's. It was just insane. Like, if it wasn't for the stupid mistakes in the World Series, we would have won the World Series. I mean, that's the rotation that we need. You know, Harvey fell apart. Syndergaard wasn't as good. Syndergaard had that lat injury in the early part. I think it was, 2016? It was 2017 when he had that lat injury in Washington. And I remember it like it was yesterday because I was at that game in Washington. You know, 2017, he was hurt. 2018, wasn't that good. 2019, he was okay. And then during spring training, the first spring training, not the second one, first spring training, Tommy John surgery. So, you know, 3 out of the last 2 years, he was injured. So we don't really know what Syndergaard is right now, especially coming back from Tommy John surgery. Is he still going to be throwing 100 miles an hour? We don't know. But we do know is that Tommy John surgery has come a long way. Pitches come back better than ever, but you just never know. You know, with Wheeler, it took him 2 years to come back. You know, with Harvey, yes, he had, you know, that other injury, that thoracic outlet syndrome injury. But was that from him coming back too early from Tommy John and the Mets going over the innings limit that the doctor put in place? Maybe. But again, we don't know. It's just, you know, everybody's different when it comes to Tommy John surgery. Syndergaard, you know, there was a couple of videos he posted on Twitter, him throwing. I mean, he wasn't throwing, you know, gas, but, you know, he was working out. He was throwing a ball, you know. He looks in good shape. So, you know, it's possible that he'll be okay. You know, you just got to limit his innings. And I think that's the biggest reason why we need a Max to step up. We need, you know, if the Mets sign a Taiwan Walker or Jake Odorizzi, we need that guy to be a, you know, part of the rotation when Syndergaard is not pitching the innings that we would expect him if he was healthy. You know, I really think he's, like I said earlier, he's going to pitch, you know, probably 5 innings, the first couple of starts, maybe even a month or two into, you know, him coming back. So I think it's important that Matt step up, maybe, you know, Jake Odorizzi or Taiwan Walker, depending on who the Mets would sign, to step up, because we need people to step up. When it comes to the lineup, we all know Pete Alonso had a great 2019 season. You know, home run record, just all around he was good. Even defensively, he looked okay. 2020 was a whole different story. He struggled. He looked lost at the plate. Even his defense got worse than it already was in 2019. It wasn't really good. So I feel like Pete's going to bounce back. But again, you know, we can't leave Dom Smith out of this. We can't, you know, especially if there's no DH, you know, we're going to have to do things, you know, we're going to have to decide, you know, if there's a right-hander on the mound, that's a tough right-hander. Are you going to play Alonso or are you going to play Smith? You're probably going to play Smith. It's just how it's going to go if we don't have a DH. But you guys got to remember, the Mets get Springer. That means Nimmo's going to left field. You know, if we're not going to trade, you know, Nimmo and everything like that for like a Lindor or Arenado or whatever, if Nimmo's going to be on this team, he's going to be playing left field. There's no DH. Dom will not be DH. And Dom will not be playing first base. Alonso's not going to be DH. So you got to really, I don't know, you know, Rojas, he has to, you know, juggle the lineup around every now and then. So that's what I think is the biggest issue this year. But as we know right now, there's no DH. So I think it's just a good idea to, you know, sign who we got to sign. And it never hurts because there's always something that happens during the season. Somebody gets injured. So let's see how it goes, Met fans. Thanks for tuning in. I will talk to you in about a day or two. The next episode will be up in probably on Friday. So hopefully there's some good news. We get some free agent signings for our Mets. Talk to you next time. Let's go Mets.